full spectrum. It's the full spectrum. We've got news, entertainment, interviews, and so much more. It's the full spectrum.
On today's show, canvassing for JPS. And authors Dr. Sonia Noel and Hilda Borns join us live. Welcome to the Full Spectrum for Monday, July 9th. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty. The Better Together Commission is taking part in a community-wide canvassing effort. They plan to knock on 60,000 doors, or at least they plan to. We'll find out if they still do, to learn about residents' ideas and attitudes regarding education in public schools. And the commission has selected the nonprofit foundation One Voice to lead its canvassing efforts. Joining us now to fill us in on the efforts is the executive director of One Voice, Nashombe Lambright. Welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having me, Dwayne.
It's really great to see you, Nashombe. I haven't seen you in a while.
It has been.
And you're very busy. You're going to knock on 60,000 doors.
Yes, all by myself.
Your knuckles. Make sure you wear gloves.
I will.
Remind people what the Better Together Commission is.
Yes, the Better Together Commission is a collective group representing parents and community stakeholders from the mayor's office, governor's office, and Kellogg Foundation that have come together to develop a plan to make sure that Jackson Public School District is a top-rate A-plus school district.
And this is something we'll probably be talking about more over the next few months because it's a really big deal. As most of our listeners know, the state almost took over the Jackson school system because of poor grades. And but they decided not to because this commission got together. Kellogg's a part of it. And the governor and the mayor met. So this is a part of that. And we talked recently with Aisha Carson, who's from ACLU, who's heading the youth part of this, trying to get some feedback from young people about how they'd like to see the schools change. And now you're going out talking to the big people, the grown-ups, about what they want. So talk to me about where you are right now in terms of when you plan to actually start the canvassing.
Yes, we are very excited. We had our first training on Saturday, and we trained over 100 people to go out into Jackson neighborhood. So we've hired about 100 people so far.
Wow.
To go out, and these are all Jackson residents, many of them parents, and some, you know, graduates of the Jackson Public School District, to go out into sometimes their own communities, sometimes other communities, and knock on these 60,000 doors for us. It's going to take an army to accomplish this over an 8-week period.
Over 8 weeks.
That was going to be one of my questions to you. That's right. So by mid to the end of August, we should have our canvassing efforts complete.
And how are you going to, first of all, 60,000 doors, that's a lot of doors.
Absolutely.
But also, you don't, I guess, want to ask too much that you won't be able to handle the volume of the information because you have to collate it, you have to enter it and figure out, you know, try to get some kind of feedback from that. So how did you guys narrow down what it is you're going to be talking about?
Yeah, so a lot of the survey questions, this is about a 10 to 15 minute survey. And a lot of the questions came from the listening sessions that the commission had over the last several months. And so these questions came directly from community stakeholders getting their feedback on what they felt the district needed and what they felt was lacking in the district. So these questions came from those points. Also came from a lot of research that was done that speaks to what makes a healthy school district. And so what we want to get out of this survey is a set of attitudes and opinion directly from community stakeholders on what should be the priorities in the Jackson Public School District.
How is this different than what was being done? Because one of the things that I guess if you want to look at the silver lining here is that by forming this commission and kind of coming up with a new way to try to run the schools, a better way even to run them, what's different about asking these questions and getting this feedback?
It goes directly to the people, and I won't say that it's different, but it's a part of. There are a number of commission meetings. There are a number of community meetings that are being held, but we know that everyone doesn't come out to go to community meetings. Some people are working. Some people are, taking care of family at home. And so we want to make sure that every Jackson resident has an opportunity to take a part and play a role in making sure that the Jackson Public School District is the best. So this is part of that effort. So it just kind of goes along with everything else that's going on, the community fairs, the work that the commission is doing to get young people to the table. So it just kind of goes along with that.
How does it work? You literally, I guess, go up and knock on the door or ring the doorbell, and then what?
Yes. Yeah, so we have a database of Jackson households that
okay.
we're going from. And so we're knocking on these households, and it's electronic. And so the canvassers will use their smartphones or iPads, and they will record the answers to the survey questions on their iPads or smartphones, and it goes directly into a system.
Wow, so you don't even have to wait to get back to before it starts compiling.
Before it starts coming in, exactly, exactly. And so, for those individuals who aren't home, we'll have a mechanism for them to complete the survey online, and we'll also have a mechanism for people to complete a hand survey, and we'll enter that in as well.
Okay, let me make sure that I understand this. Mm-hmm. So if you knock on a door and the person's not there, you'll leave something to let them know you were there, and then they can fill out the form on their own.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, but hopefully we'll get everything entered into this database, and we'll have, very few instances where, we have the paper copies that we have to enter in, but there will be that opportunity. And we'll also have people on the phone calling Jackson residents saying, hey, we missed you. Can you do the survey on the phone?
How did you come up with this list of people that you're going to target?
For many, many years of community work.
Okay. And can you tell us any of the specific questions or give us an idea of what kind of feedback you're looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we want to get a sense of the demographics of the community of Jackson. There are a lot of us who are from Jackson, and we know our neighborhoods. So we just want to get a sense of how many parents we talk to, how many community stakeholders, how many business stakeholders, how many people that we talk to that still have children in the school district. We want to know things like how well people think that the district is preparing young people for college. And how well do we think that the district is preparing young people to enter the workforce? So questions like that, questions about priorities. Do we think that infrastructure issues should be the first thing that we work on? Do we think that hiring more teachers or giving teachers pay raises, are those the priorities? So, and we know that if we, asked everyone here today, they would say, hey, we need to do all of them all at once.
Right.
But we know that that's not possible, and that we do have to prioritize. So this will give the commission and also the school district a sense of where families believe the priorities are.
What jumps out to me immediately is that these answers may vary by community. Mm-hmm. And I would think you guys are anticipating that because you nodded right away. So what does, as you compile then, is there any concern, do you think, or should people from different areas, and I do mean now from less affluent areas, should they be concerned that their feedback will not be weighted as heavily than some other neighborhoods?
Well, I don't think so, because one of the things that we're doing is that we're going out each week based on the ward structure in Jackson. So this week we are handling Ward 2.
So I want to stop mm-hmm. you once again. So that means you are going to be compiling the data by ward first
yes.
before you put it all together.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So we'll get that sense of, hey, you know, parents in Presidential Hill said that infrastructure was a priority. So that'll be a part of the assessment of the answers that we receive.
And wow,
I think
that's
that'll be very helpful. Absolutely.
And then you said 8 weeks you hope to gather it all or actually analyze it all?
We hope to gather it all in 8 weeks.
Putting
a lot on me, Dwayne.
Yeah,
you're putting a lot
ambitious.
On me. So hopefully we'll be finished in 8 weeks. And then, you know, as I said, the information is coming in, is being fed into the system. And so we'll be able to make a pretty quick assessment once all wards have been completed.
And then talk to me about what happens after that.
After that, we would generate a report that says, hey, these are the priorities. This is what Jackson told us, were the priorities for the Jackson Public School District.
And if Aisha Carson told me correctly, I believe that the governor has representatives on the Better Together Commission. So that
yes.
everybody will be finding out these results and looking them over at the same time, all
Absolutely.
Of the stakeholders here.
Absolutely.
Talk to me about what this process has been like. You've been around a long time, Nishambi. You've done a lot of different things. I've known you a while. You've seen ideas come and go.
Yeah.
You know, people try things. Talk to me. Give me your personal feedback on how you think this particular initiative is shaping up.
I'm excited about it because, as you said, I've been around for a while. Been in Jackson for a while, brought a son through the Jackson Public School District, and I am a product of the Jackson Public School District. So I've seen a lot of these, community forums and community charrettes, and, you know, it seems like every time it's called something different. And so I'm excited about this because the commission is working really, really hard to make sure that all voices are at the table. And I think that's something that's unique from prior processes. You know, we have community meetings and it'll be the same, you know, very committed, dedicated people showing up. But some people don't show up because they can't.
Right.
And so this gives us an opportunity to reach out to those families, to reach out to those businesses who may even say, well, you know, I don't live in Jackson, I just have a business here, so maybe I don't have a voice. But they absolutely have a voice and they have a role to play. So this is the first time that I've observed that we are making sure that all of these voices have a seat at the table.
Right, you maybe just think of this list of information that the Secretary of State compiled of businesses in the state to get their feedback of what they want from the education system. I think it's becoming aware to people that in order for an education system to work, you really have to talk to all the stakeholders, not just kids and parents, and not just the education department. You really have to talk to all the stakeholders, the people who are going to access this workforce when they come out.
Absolutely. It's all hands on deck. We need our religious leaders. We need our community leaders, business leaders. Everyone has to play a role in making sure that Jackson is the top-rated school district, and I know we can do it.
You know, not to put any more pressure on you, but this is, I am sure, knowing you as I do, this is not pressure you're not already putting on yourself, but this is really critical. And, you know, JPS has been given an opportunity here to come up with an innovative way to try to solve these problems, to not have been taken over by the state. But the stakes are high. I mean, there's only so far you can go before you say, well, now we have to take over and do something. So knowing that, talk to me about, I asked you how it's shaping up. Now, give me the kind of vibe you're getting from the other commission members about what you would call the potential success rate here. If you're thinking, yeah, this, you know, because these are high caliber people on this commission. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about very accomplished people. Mm-hmm. And do you are you hopeful that you guys are going to be able to really come up with something that will improve, some kind of framework to improve the Jackson Public Schools?
I believe so. I am really, really hopeful about it. You know, like you said, these are some very highly educated, committed, and passionate people that are part of this commission and, you know, part of the school board. And I think that these folks know that we can't fail this time.
Right. And I get that.
Yeah,
feeling.
So there's that pressure, but there's also the hopefulness. A lot of people don't see a lot of the good things that are happening in the Jackson Public School District. We only see the bad. And so I think as the commission members become more familiar with the kind of ins and outs of the school district and see what can be improved on, to see where those models that can be lifted up in the school district, I think there are going to be some very, very exciting things. When you have that combination of opportunity and resources to match, we can't fail.
Wow. You know, and at this point, you have to believe that, and you have to hope. So we definitely want to have you back on. But before I let you go, people who are interested in what we are talking about, who may, I don't know if there are any other canvassing positions open, but people who want to keep up with what's going on, where can they go for more information?
They can definitely visit the Better Together Commission site. And that site is bettertogether.formississippi.org.
Okay.
That's bettertogether, one word, .formississippi.org. And they can also visit our website at onevoicems.org. And we are in need of more canvassers.
We're also
looking for community volunteers. We're reaching out to our neighborhood associations so that when we're in neighborhoods like Presidential Hills and Woodley, that we're side by side with the neighborhood association folks. So if you're interested in volunteering as a church, as a civic organization, please give our office a call at 601-960-9594, extension 300.
That is absolutely fantastic. I hope some of our listeners are able to take advantage of that and offer their services, because I'm sure there are some who feel that kind of stake we're talking about. Nishombe Lambright, Executive Director of One Voice, come back soon, because this is something I'm really interested in, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are. We're with you in spirit.
Thank you so much. We need it.
All right, we're going to take a break. Stick around. We've got two authors in the house.
On Saturdays, the contemporary jazz world awaits you. Join me, Meredith Michelle, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. for all of your contemporary favorites, like Robert Glasper, Diana Krall, Najee, and many more. It's a contemporary jazz playlist you just can't miss. That's Contemporary Jazz, Saturdays from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., only here on Cool and Current, 88.5 FM.
The weathercasts on WJSU are underwritten by Ingalls Shipbuilding in Pascagoula, Mississippi. Ingalls is an equal opportunity employer, hiring electricians, machinists, ship fitters, and pipe welders. Positions are union represented. Information at 888-935-1507 or the Ingalls website at huntingtoningalls.com/careers.
You ever get a longing to hear the masters of jazz? Thelonious Monk, Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Louis Armstrong, and more. Check out Jazz Reflections every weekday afternoon from 12 to 2 for your favorite jazz masters. That's Jazz Reflections with Gerard Howard on Cool and Current at 88.5.
Okay, welcome back to the Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty. We've got two authors with us now. There's going to be a big event in the East Center tomorrow evening called Evening of Inspiration. It's going to focus on four books. We have two authors here, as I said, Dr. Sonia Noel, author of, among other things, Living with Intention, and Hilda Nell Borns, the author of Nell's Nightmare. And I welcome you both to the studio. How are you today?
Oh, thank you.
Awesome.
Feeling very energized.
Awesome.
Okay, great. So give folks an overview of what's going to be happening tomorrow night.
Okay, tomorrow is actually, Mississippi is one of the stops on my 13-city book tour. And it's a place that I felt very at home, and so I just actually wanted to come back here after Essence. And, of course, my sister Hilda lives here. So it's going to be an evening of inspiration.
Okay, wait a minute. I didn't know that you two are sisters.
No, not a mother. Yeah, and you are going to actually, after leaving this event, you're going to want to give the world the best version of you. Four books will be featured. That is Living with Intention, Women Across Borders Fulfilling Purpose, and With a Mission, and Compilation Beyond the Runway. We're going to have a bit of fashion too, because I've been designing for 20 years, and it's hard to have Sonia Noel without any fashion at all. Then
right.
We're going to have book signing. We're going to read it. They're going to have excerpt readings. It's going to be just a fun evening, and evening when you leave there, you're going to be energized and motivated.
And I know you've done this before here. You were here last year. Talk to me about the kind of discussions that come out of these events.
You know, one of the things that comes up, and that's one of the reasons they have the Women Across Borders, which is an anthology, because it doesn't matter where we are from as women. Like yesterday, we had an event in New Orleans, and a group of women, and we all have challenges, and we all talk about the mountains and the valleys, and what we need to do, and you know, sometimes we all struggle with it at some point, is getting through those valleys to get to the mountain, because you cannot have the mountain without the valleys. And it all has to do with a mindset. We all have to shift that mindset sometime for that positive change, and to, you know, to have a plan to grow and to really get down, as Hilda said, go out on the limb sometimes. And you know, in my book Living with Intention, I mentioned that you have to actually think sometimes you can grow your wings while you jump and grow your wings. And even when your wings are broken, you still think you can fly.
Right. And speaking of broken wings, Hilda, your book deals with abuse.
Yes.
And this has been a year, you know, the Me Too movement has really flourished this year with more women feeling empowered to not only stop the abuse, but to deal with repairing themselves. Talk to me about the complicated topic of abuse and how to talk about it with other people, especially when you feel that you don't have the strength to.
Well, with Nell's Nightmare, it covers multiple types of abuse, and it is a hard conversation to have. And I compliment the women that have come forward, because many times, especially in families, it's a hush-hush thing. Everybody wants to sweep it under the rug or put it in the closet and just ignore it, or just to say, get over it. And it's not a thing that you can just get over. It is a thing. What Nell Nightmare does is actually a workbook, and it helps them work through the process. It helps them to learn to forgive. It helps them to, it encourages them to journal. It encourages them to heal, because after the nightmare, then you can begin to dream. Many times that we just suffer through, we just get through it, but we never heal.
Why, and this has been going on for a long time, you know, we don't talk about that in public, you know, that's something you keep that in the family. Why all the secrecy surrounding certain types of behavior?
Well, a lot of times families, they don't want the embarrassment. They feel that it's embarrassing for those secrets to come out, and they're trying to protect Uncle Joe, who may have been a molester, or the grandfather, in my case, who was a molester, or the nephew who's a rapist, or the even people that are homosexual. They want to push that under the rug and they don't want to talk about it. But the thing about it is, just because you don't talk about it doesn't mean it didn't happen. So now it's a time with the new Me Too movement, which I'm really happy to say that I am actually working on Nell's Nightmare Me Too, where it'll be an anthology of taking other women's stories of how they conquered the abuse once they got out of it and how they survive to help other women. But it's most of the time it's just embarrassment. They don't want the negative attention.
You know, Sonia, when you think about it, the revelation that you have been abused, or that I can talk about this and try to change it, going from there to, you know, living with intention, it really is an evolution. It's a process. How does one look at that process, and how does one, because to me it's clear it is a personal process. What mm-hmm. might take you 3 weeks,
definitely.
You might wake up tomorrow and say, I'm not taking this crap anymore. And
I'm doing this, yep.
Right, but it might take someone else 2 years.
It's an individual thing.
So how are you true to yourself as you walk that path?
It's definitely an individual thing. And when I wrote Living With Intention, actually it was therapy for me also, because when you write, you kind of, some things that you think that you've dealt with before, it kind of resurfaces, you know? And like, I've always been like the kind of person that always look at the glass that is half full. So it didn't matter what my situation was, I intentionally wanted to be better. I intentionally wanted to turn this around.
And I wanted to just ask you, you don't necessarily have to intend, but it seems to me that it's much more effective if you do it with intention.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Because, and like I spoke about personal growth there, because when we have to work on ourselves, a lot of times we have to get to know us better. Even have a date. How many people have had a date with themselves? We have to get to know. Because when we know us better, we love us better. When we know us better, we grow us better. So getting that time with you, loving you, being authentic and vulnerable. Like, if for you to be really true to yourself, like the book that I wrote, you have to be vulnerable. And a lot of times people don't want to be. They want to have this mask on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but even when you're talking about it, it seems like a foreign concept almost, you know, having a date with yourself. Getting to know yourself, I've heard that. No, but I'm not. It's very innovative. Mm-hmm. How does one learn how to do that?
You just do it. And you know, you have to. A lot of us don't appreciate ourselves. We don't. We really don't. And the other thing, like, I love Wayne Dyer. I listen to Wayne Dyer all the time. And you know, there are times I can remember. I had a jasmine tree. I passed the tree so many times. One morning, I inhale. I said, "Oh my God, it smells so good." Because we get so caught up with everything else around that the little things sometimes, you know, like even tank our lungs and our heart, our heart is pumping blood through, you know, just little things. Today, this food didn't have to take us anywhere. Just stop a moment and thank the organs in your body for the work it's doing. Be very appreciative, you know?
Well, I really wish we had more time to talk, but please, if people want to engage in this conversation, all they have to do is come to the East Center tomorrow. Give us the details.
Yes, tomorrow from 6 to 8, they will meet with Dr. Anthony will be there too, because she wrote the foreword in Living With Intent with Women Across Borders.
Who's the chair of the Media and Mass Communications Department
woman,
here.
Amazing woman, yes. And we will have really great conversation. I can guarantee you that you are going to leave there feeling like, oh, and then you'll have a chance to get any of the books also. And I must say that they all are bestsellers on Amazon.
Okay. Well, great. So that's at the East Center, 1230 Raymond Road, for those of you who do not know. That's it from 6 to 8 tomorrow. And that's going to be a great discussion.
Oh, yes. And they'll get a chance also to see some fashion.
You guys are going to have it going on tomorrow. All right, Dr. Sonia Noel and Hilda Nell Borns. Great talking to you guys. I wish you much success tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's our show for today. Don't forget to catch Metro Morning Live with Rob J hosting tomorrow at 7 and again at 10 on JSU TV. You can catch their live stream on Facebook. Just type in Jackson State TV one word. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 with more of the Full Spectrum. And up next, Latin Jazz with your host, Dale Morris. Have a great evening.